Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and on today's program, we will meet our new general orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Somacetti. Before we do, I have a few announcements I'd like to share. First of all, listeners, you will not want to miss this. We invite you to join dietitian Christy Zweifel for a free Empower Half Hour workshop on Wednesday, January 28th, beginning at 12 o'clock noon in the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. Christy will challenge participants to eat 30 different plants in a week. Sharing the challenge can benefit gut health by boosting the immune system, reducing inflammation, helping to maintain healthy weight, and lowering your cancer risk. Those planning to attend, we do ask and encourage an RSVP. You can register by emailing us at pr@vandeestmc.org. The event will also be available live on the Van Deest Medical Center Facebook page. I will mention those in attendance will get to enjoy snacks, and we will have handouts available as well. Again, mark your calendars, plan to join us in person or virtually on our Facebook page next Wednesday, January 28th, beginning at 12 o'clock noon. And then I'd like to share our February Seniors and Law Enforcement Together meeting. The acronym is SALT, is coming up Thursday, February 5th, beginning at 9 o'clock. We will be meeting at the Hamilton County Conservation Building. We will start with refreshments and offering free blood pressure checks provided by Van Deest Medical Center. The meeting itself will get underway at 9:30, where we will have announcements from law enforcement and area agency officials, as well as upcoming events around Hamilton County. Following those announcements, we will get into our program, and we will feature Hamilton County naturalist John Laird. John is going to be reviewing the 2025 Public Naturalist programming with a look at what's to come in 2026. He will also discuss plans for the Conservation Office, sharing a vision for the new future Nature Center. SALT meetings are free and open to the public. They are held every other month, different locations throughout Hamilton County. We certainly encourage your attendance. Again, the next SALT meeting will be Thursday, February 5th at the Hamilton County Conservation Building. And with that, we are ready to begin with our show. We're very excited to welcome and introduce our newest orthopedic surgeon to join the surgery department at Van Deest Medical Center, Dr. Sridhar Somacetti. Good morning to you.
Lori, thank you very much, and I'm excited to be here at the Van Deest Medical Center and be a part of the Hamilton County and serving the Webster City. I'm excited about this new opportunity. Thank you.
You are welcome, and I appreciate you joining us on the program, Dr. Somacetti. Let's start by having you just share a little bit about yourself, your background, your education, your extensive training that you have.
Thank you. I was born in India and grew up in India. The city where I grew up is a big city, 14 million population. And I trained everything in that city, including my elementary school, high school, went to medical school. It's the fifth oldest medical school in India, and it's so massive that it has its own hospitals, about 15 to 20 distributed across the city. And just to give you a perspective, just for a eye hospital, we have to go for a rotation, and there are about 2,000 beds in just the eye hospital. And then after my med school, I looked into what exactly my passion would be and what exactly brought me into medicine. And then I explored a couple of specialties, including radiology, and eventually I narrowed down to orthopedics for the simple reason that orthopedics is a unique specialty where you can combine not just your medical knowledge, but more importantly, your common sense and technical skills and put that into action and see the results right away. If I see someone walking with bad knees and you fix it and they are walking back and then you restore their quality of life, their function, and more importantly, their self-esteem, I think that is unparalleled to anything that you can. And that's what drew me into orthopedics. And this has been almost 30 years ago, and I have been so happy being in orthopedics, not because of the surgeries, but more importantly, what it means to patients. And I have been so happy practicing this. So after my orthopedic residency training in Level 1 Trauma Center in Hyderabad, I moved to the United States. And the reason I moved to the United States was every book that I read, the authors have an address saying that they are from the United States. And I always wondered, you know, what is so special about the U.S.? And even in my med school, I wrote a letter to Harvard Medical School asking them, hey, can I get some training in your school? And they laughed at me, basically, and said they regretted they cannot get me in there. But I never gave up. I came to the United States after I got married to my wife. And in fact, my wife was actually born in South Bend, Indiana, and she grew up back home in India. And so we got married in India and we came here. I was 26 years old when I moved to the United States, having no idea what orthopedics was here. I always wanted to return back home, and therefore I wanted to do specialty training in orthopedics. I started with spine surgical training, and I had this burning desire to go to Harvard Medical School. So I again approached to the Harvard Hip Fellowship Program Director, Dr. Harris, and I asked him, I want to train with you. And he said, why should I train you? I said, I never did joint replacements, and I really want to go back and do something back home in India. And then he thought about this, and he had a fellowship program for 30 years, and he trained American graduates for all these 30 years. He took a few months, and he called me back and said, I'm making an exception. I never took an international medical graduate into Harvard HIP program, but I'm going to give an exception, and I'm going to have you come. And so I joined his program, and I did hip and knee replacement fellowship. I trained with some of the best surgeons in the world, people who write the textbooks, people who describe the technique of doing a hip replacement. And Dr. Harris was one of the persons who actually invented new kinds of plastics and materials that actually last almost lifetime. The biggest problem with hip replacements in 70s and 80s was that these hips do not last forever. So he found out that actually it was a problem. The problem was the plastics that they used, and he invented a new kind of plastic in collaboration with the MIT. And these plastics were done with a special technique that allowed it to withstand the wear and tear. And they had labs to run these models, which essentially, if you run this model for 20 years, it means 20 weeks, it means it's 20 years of a lifespan. And that has become a standard now, and that's one of the reasons why hip replacements and knee replacements do not wear out. And the reason why I'm telling this is the research that goes on in the labs is actually so important, and it translates into better quality of life for us. You know, we always used to tell, you know, the joints are not going to last long and you may have to come back after 10 years or 15 years, and that's the biggest concern. So we used to reserve the joint replacements for people 65 or 70 plus, but now patients are asking for more, they want to do more, and with this new plastics and the materials, this has made it possible for actually to be able to do the surgeries earlier. But that doesn't mean that we choose surgery as the first option on everyone. The biggest concern, especially in a rural orthopedic setting, is patients don't have the transportation. They go to a big city, and then big cities, for various reasons, they are factories. They want to just get the patients in and do the surgery and then let them go. And sometimes it may not translate into the best outcome for the simple reason the patient may actually be going for something else, and the x-rays may show something, and the surgeon may not have enough time, and they just end up having surgery. and not having answers to their questions and the time that they can spend with surgeons at the big cities is the biggest problem that rural communities face, and that's exactly where my heart is. For me, this philosophy is simple. Spend time with patients, be honest with them, and tell them what you can do, and more importantly, tell them what you cannot do. And I don't hesitate for a second. If I cannot do the surgery or if I'm not the best person for someone, I tell them that you have to go to this person. In fact, I saw someone this morning and I sent them to a specialty surgeon who does this special surgery in St. Louis. And so the fact is patients want honest answers. They're not coming to the rural hospital just because they do not have any other option. I want them to come to the rural hospital because they have quality surgeons who can spend time with them and give the best advice they need. And most of the time, surgery may not be the first option. Maybe injections, maybe physical therapy, maybe something else that you can do. Or sometimes, you know, just getting the right family support, making sure that they have everything set up at home before we push them to surgery. And these are the factors that you need to consider when you're taking a decision about doing the surgery or not. And that's been my practice. So after my training at the Harvard, I actually went back to India. I practiced for a few months, but I could not really reconcile to the fact the quality of care that I was able to learn and provide here. So my heart was always here. So I came back to the United States, joined the faculty at the University of Arizona. I was involved with the residency training there, was in charge of the VA hospital orthopedic services, and trained residents and also practiced academic orthopedics for a few years. And then I started looking into, okay, I want to be working in a private practice, but I also do not want to be part of a big group. I rather want to be in a smaller hospital in a rural community where I can really spend time with my patients. So I chose to practice in Oskaloosa. I came in 2003 to Iowa, and the first few months, it was difficult for me because there was nothing available at a small hospital. Then I approached to the CEO and said that, you know, we can actually keep all these patients here if we have these things available. And then I brought in the medical reps. I trained the nurses in the operating room how to do a joint replacement, how to scrub, how to follow the aseptic precautions. And eventually we came to a stage where I was doing about 175 to 200 joint replacements every year in Oskaloosa. And after practicing for 17 years, and you know, we were empty nesters, and we were just looking at commuting every day, and I felt like I should probably just remain in Des Moines. And so I joined Broadlands Medical Center. The reason I chose Broadlands was, again, for the same reason. I did not want to be part of a big group. I really wanted to provide service to the lowest layer of the society that does not have easy access to the healthcare. So I went in there and then worked with a couple more surgeons, and then eventually got promoted to be the section chief of orthopedics at Broadlands. I practiced in Broadlands for 6 years. And for various reasons, that practice was shut down and was privatized to a bigger group. And I felt like I actually belonged to a small community, and I started looking for a job. And I had some contacts at Webster City, and I felt like this is the place I'm going to do my final phase of practice until I retire, and provide this same quality service that I've given for decades.
Well, we're certainly delighted that you did. And you did a nice job of explaining your background and your training. And I love that you shared rural medicine is not new to you. That's really where your heart was. We're glad that you have found it again. Your years at Broadlands, too, is very significant to share with our listeners.
Thank you, Lori.
Now, I want our listeners to understand, too, that you are a full-time general orthopedic surgeon. So for us at Van Deese Medical Center, this is having you here full-time. You are not a visiting specialist. You are here full-time seeing patients. And being a general orthopedic surgeon, there are a lot of different services and procedures that you provide. Let's take some time to talk about some of the conditions you treat, some of the services that you do offer right here at our hospital.
Thank you. So I do carpal tunnel surgeries. I do endoscopic carpal tunnel, so you don't really need to cut open the whole wrist to do the carpal tunnel surgery. We make a 1 centimeter incision, and using a camera, we release the carpal tunnel. The outcomes and the complications, outcomes are good, and the complications are very minimal. It takes about a 10-minute procedure, and the recovery takes usually 2 to 3 weeks, and patients can go back to doing everything. And this is one of those procedures I strongly recommend everyone consider if you have any symptoms, especially pain along the wrist that comes down to your thumb and the pointing finger, and it really affects your working and keeps you awake at nights. We usually do what's called as a nerve study to find out the extent of pressure on your nerve and if there is any damage to the nerve, and that gives us a good outlook on what exactly to expect from the surgery and the recovery time it takes. I also do fracture care, including the wrist fractures, hip fractures, shoulder fractures. And one of the most important things that I'm passionate about is addressing the hip fractures. Certainly, I want to fix them within 24 to 36 hours after the fracture is sustained. And that's one of the challenges for a rural hospital. They come to the ER and then they need to find a place to be transported to, and someone has to take care of them. So if we can keep the care local and then have actually some of our care providers take care of the same patients that they have done for decades, so that gives the comfort to the patient and to the family that the care is local and they have their own familiar providers taking care of them. And eventually, if and when they go to a skilled care, we can have our providers go and take care of the post-operative recovery, and eventually we want them to go back home and then be in the comfort of their own home. I think that's the biggest advantage of having a full-time orthopedic surgeon. I did not want to be a surgeon that hops around 4 different places and not knowing the families and not knowing my patients. And that's the important reason why I chose to be in one place and be in one town and dedicate my practice to this community. I also do, obviously, the knee replacements, hip replacements, shoulder replacements. There is also a procedure called as a reverse shoulder replacement that is done for some unique situations where someone has arthritis related to lack of rotator cuff, which is a very, very common problem. And this is something I have done extensively while I was in Broadlands, and I'll be happy to do them here. I also do the cubital tunnel syndrome, which is the pinched nerve at the elbow that causes numbness in the pinky finger. And that's a very common problem that we can address. I also do rotator cuff surgeries. I also do knee arthroscopy, a few shoulder arthroscopic surgeries, ACL reconstructions, some sports injuries. I do not do operative spine. And if there is a major extensive fracture, like an open fracture or polytrauma, obviously it does not belong to Webster City, but we will stabilize you and then let you be transported out to a specialty institute. Thank you.
Very good. How about within your practice, the demographics of the patients you see?
Anyone living and moving.
Okay.
And but majority of my practice is adults and older adults. There are also some pediatric patients we take care of, some injuries. But there are many pediatric conditions like scoliosis or congenital dysplastic hips that belongs to a university hospital. Mm-hmm. I do not do hip arthroscopy surgery, which is primarily reserved for younger patients, and that needs a different setup, and I don't have experience in that.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. You had mentioned a little bit earlier in the program how what's really important is to listen to patients. If I were to ask further, maybe to share what is your practice philosophy or what is important for patients to know about how you practice, what would you share?
So there are several things. My visit with the patient actually begins even before I see the patient. I go through their charts and I review their MRI results. And if there is any thing that I do not agree with the radiologist's report, I actually talk to the radiologist and say or see if there is anything different that he sees. And I want to get a good assessment of what their condition is. I will go through their primary care physician's or the referring provider's note and see exactly what they are concerned about. They may have four different things going on at the same time, but I want to see what exactly I can accomplish during their visit. And then the same philosophy runs with my mid-level providers, whether it is a physician assistant or nurse practitioner or my nurses. They're going to do a chart prep, and then the actual time that I visit with the patient, I don't want to be carrying a computer with me. I want to be seeing them in their eyes and see what exactly their problem is. And I think that's where most of the care is lost, if you are not spending time with the patient. And I think listening to patient, I think rather than me going and asking them or telling them that you need surgery, I start with what brings you in first, and then what exactly is affecting you. And the other question that I ask them is, what were your expectations out of this visit? Because I may be thinking about an injection, they may be thinking about surgery. Mm-hmm. Or I may be thinking surgery and they may be thinking about something else. So I really want to know if they feel like, I really wish I could get an injection and that's what I came here for. I tell them honestly that this will help you, but this may be a Band-Aid and you really need to get this. An example would be someone who is 75, 80, and she or he has bad arthritis of the knee. And they may have been getting injections every few months, but it's not working anymore. And they may be just looking for a hope that there may be a special injection or something that they can get and buy another 5 years. And my answer would be honest, you know, you're getting old and you got to get it done because you may not be healthy enough to withstand the surgery 5 years from now, but you may be healthy enough to live. And what do you do about it? And it's not fun being in pain every day of your life. And someone who is 80, every day of their life is more precious than someone who is younger. Being comfortable, being functional, being independent. And if you cannot get those functionalities, then I think you really need to go for surgery. Yes, there are risks with surgery, and there's always a problem that can happen with any surgery. But that's exactly where our thorough evaluation and then team approach to you is going to help get the best outcome that you can, and then continue with the follow-up, all done locally here in Webster City.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. It's a perfect lead-in to my next question to ask what advice you might give to listeners about taking care of themselves, taking care of their joints as they age.
Get up and walk. That's the most important thing. Try to do these 10,000 steps a day. That's very important. Try to be active. Try not to sit. Try not to be dependent on medications. And there are solutions. Don't be afraid to see the doctor. And don't be afraid that doctors are going to tell that only surgery is the option. There are many options that we can discuss. More importantly, make sure that you do not put on more weight by being inactive. Quit smoking, keep your diabetes under control. These are all the things that you can do before you approach to the physician about surgery. Mm-hmm. And there are several options we can discuss about even before I go to surgery. And surgery is the last option that I choose for anyone.
Some great advice, and those are things within our control that we can manage and many of us can be better at.
Absolutely.
So thank you. As a general orthopedic surgeon, you have clinic days here where you see patients in our specialty clinic department, and then you have your surgery days. So let's make sure we talk about your availability and your schedule here at the hospital.
As I told, I'm a full-time. I'm not going to practice anywhere else except at the Vandyst. And our hope is to see as many patients as we can here and keep the care locally. My typical surgery days are Mondays and Thursdays, and my clinic days are Tuesdays and Fridays. I will also be soon having a mid-level provider. And so we anticipate being able to address any questions or concerns year-round. Mm-hmm. And as much as possible. And if there is any concern or any question, call our office or you can call your primary care provider and they can approach to me or to my team anytime.
Very good. And I want to make sure that we share that phone number with our listeners. If you have questions or want to schedule an appointment with Dr. Somacetti, you can call the Specialty Clinic Department at 515-832-7746. You have been with us for a couple of weeks now, so I will ask, what are your first impressions of Webster City and Van Deese Medical Center?
Typical of any rural orthopedic, rural hospital. Everyone is helpful.
Good.
Everyone is cordial. And they always want to go out of their way to help. I ask for a direction. They do not point a finger. They actually walk with me. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I don't want to ask for any help because I'm afraid that they're going to leave what they're doing and come help me. That's rural hospital. And that's what brought me back to rural orthopedics.
I love hearing that because it is the personal touch. And we feel that way. We're caring for our friends, our families, our neighbors. And so I'm thrilled that you have experienced that while you have been here.
Thank you.
So when you're not seeing patients, in what free time you may have, what does that look like? What do you enjoy doing?
So family, friends, travel. I also play ping pong. Not professionally, but just to kind of get up and move and spend time with friends. I also volunteer at our Hindu temple in Madrid, which I'm very passionate about. And being of Indian origin, I just want to make sure that kids of our next generation continue to be practicing our culture, understand our culture, and see the strength of our culture and diversity and how this can be applied into the modern day. I want them to be proud Americans while maintaining their identity.
Wonderful. Dr. Somacetti, anything in addition that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I'm very thrilled, and very happy to be here. And I feel like I'm back to my roots, and this is where I anticipate continuing to practice and retire from practice. I also am passionate about the rural orthopedics, and I'm going to be associated with the University of Iowa and see if we can bring residency rotation to our town. Hopefully, 10, 15 years from now, there's going to be a younger orthopedic surgeon who is going to continue staying back here and then build up on the foundation that we have built today.
Excellent. Dr. Somacetti, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. We are thrilled to have you here at Van Deese Medical Center. Again, for our listeners out there, if you have questions or you would like to schedule an appointment, I will share that phone number. It is 515-832-7746. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Lori, and appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.